The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Conor Faulkner is on holiday this week, so to fill our commuter's slot, I'm joined by Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
A static speed camera in Dublin City, where?
Yes, so this is in Dauphin's Barn from Friday. Now, this is part, if you remember, this was announced last year, Pat, there was about 9 new static cameras going around the country in various different places, from Galway to Carlow to Mayo. But this is actually the first static camera in the city. It's the only one planned as well at the moment. Now, they may roll out more.
What will it do? I mean, is it simply speed or will it...
No, it'll simply speed at the moment.
Not bus lanes or mobile phone use?
No, and I mean, the technology is there and there is talk about doing these things. But again, there's talk, but maybe when the Minister for Transport is in, you can ask all of these things.
Yeah, he'll be in shortly.
Yes, but again, it's the usual. So if you're caught speeding, it's, you know, it's €160 fine, 3 penalty points. So just from Friday, it will be there. But of course, we will know about these things. They'll be well flagged in advance.
Why Dauphin's Barn, do we know?
No idea. I think it's due to collisions and fatalities in that particular junction. But I'm sure there's just as bad around the city. But anyway, that's where it's going in.
Now, we were talking to John Clark about the EU trade deal with the US, which is brutal. A miserable deal, as he put it. But there's a warning that what Japan has done with America in terms of motoring, we should not emulate.
Yeah, so there's a new trade agreement between the United States and Japan, and it's a very kind of like an odd one, and a lot of road safety organisations are very concerned about it. Basically, Japan has said that cars coming into its own market do not have to meet its safety criteria
from
the States.
And its safety criteria are higher than those in the United States.
Yeah, so Japanese cars going into the US will have to meet US safety regulations. They would, of course, because it's not very particularly stringent. But US cars going into Japan will only have to meet...
So the warning is to the EU, don't do it.
Don't do the same thing.
Yeah.
It seems extraordinary that you'd allow cars on the road, though, that don't meet basic standards, which, you know, Japan would consider basic standards.
I mean, a lot of US motoring is very different to the kind of motoring we have to do in Europe. You know, they're highway driving or very slow city driving.
And they have very different cars. They have much, much bigger cars. Gas guzzlers, because of the cost of fuel in the States, have always been a big thing there. But it is a worrying trend. And as I said, particularly the European Transport Council are very worried about it.
Now, speaking of European safety standards, we have the Euro NCAP system and we do crash testing and we rate cars, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars with the Euro NCAP rating. Are they going to try to replace physical testing with AI?
Well, this is interesting because you would imagine, given how advanced AI is, that you can glean an awful lot of information without physically crashing cars. But it's interesting that car makers are still doing that because there's a certain amount that you gain from actually physically crash testing a car that you cannot learn from AI. And people like Volvo, of course, like a company that has always been to the forefront of safety, they physically crash anywhere between 200 and 250 cars every year. In fact, they can do up to 140 if they have a new model, just of that one.
Of one model,
yeah. So it's interesting that they're doing it. Nissan are the same, Mercedes are the same. So they're all saying, yes, we can learn an awful lot from AI. And I mean, I think Nissan or Volvo do something like 80,000 virtual crash tests as well. So they are still, you know, it's a combination of both. But it's interesting that so far, for in the future, they do not see a replacement for the actual physical crash test.
Which has got to be good news for us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you'd feel more reassured than AI telling you this car is absolutely brilliant. Safe. Wonderful.
Safe, yes. But I'd still like to see it with my own eyes. And apparently, as I said, it does throw up things that AI just doesn't throw up when you actually physically test it. So
now, the government has unveiled new insurance reform plans to try to curb rising costs. I mean, they've done a lot thus far in terms of the size of awards and, you know, people avoiding going to the courts and all of that. And it has done something to stop the rise in costs.
It has, but I suppose there's two things that are happening. Number one, the cost of claims is still very expensive and it's going up, and that's down to the cost of repairs is going up. And also, I'd say people are more likely to make claims because if repairs are costly, what might have cost you 500, 600 euros, you know, a few years ago, you might have been willing to pay for yourself.
Actually,
now, if it's a couple of thousand, you'll put it through the insurance.
A friend of mine had a tip on a bumper of a Kia and the whole thing has to be replaced. Now, the bumpers used to be to protect the car. But it was €15,000 or something to...
So you're not going to absorb that yourself.
No.
You're going to put that through. So you see, that is what's happening. The other thing as well is they still have a long way to go to convince people to use the Injuries Resolution Board. And I mean, what's interesting in that report, it came out that the claim... it's 22 times more expensive to go through the court system rather than the injuries.
And the awards are by and large the same.
But this is the thing. I don't think people realise that. And the other thing, Pat, is they're quicker. Your award is dealt with much quicker through the Injuries Resolution Board than it is through the courts. It can take a couple of years through the courts. The Injuries Resolution Board is faster. So I think there's a big promotion campaign and education campaign around that, because I don't think people realise that. I think they go to court because they think they'll get more.
Now, we'll talk about the market for EVs in a moment in Europe, but we'll talk about one particular EV company, Tesla, and they're in the doldrums.
Yeah, well, of course, the Biden, as they're calling them now, tax credits for EVs has been withdrawn. And that was actually quite a substantial amount of money. I think it was 7,500 federal tax credit for new EVs. Now, it's interesting because Musk always claimed he didn't want them anyway, that if they cut them, that Tesla would only benefit. But now that they have been cut, he's saying, well, you know, it is going to have an impact on us. So he's warning of a few rough quarters is what he's talking about. Also, investors, I think at this stage, are waiting to see this affordable model that's been promised for a long time. There's still no definite kind of concrete news on the long delayed semi truck, and he seems to be hedging his bets now on the robo taxis and autonomy. So I don't know how long investors will
wait. Maybe starting a political party on top of
of course, because he's got loads of time.
Finally, that move towards electric cars and hybrids and PHEVs is continuing. But overall, the market in Europe is down.
Yeah, the market is down about 5%, which equates to about 1.24 million units. And all of the European car makers are down. Interesting that, EV sales, plug-in hybrids and hybrids now account for 60% of sales across Europe.
That was 50% last year. So the move to electrification is unstoppable.
Yeah, it is moving, definitely. But the biggest losers are the traditional European car makers. BYD, the Chinese, are still doing well, but the slump is actually with the traditional car companies. So,
all right, Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.